We're delighted to welcome to WTBF Joseph Weisberg, former CIA officer, creator of the hit TV series The Americans, and author of Russia Upside Down, an Exit Strategy for the Second Cold War. Joe, thanks so much for taking time to talk to me and everybody else today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Dave. It's good talking to you.
You joined the CIA just as the Soviet Union was falling apart, and you, like all of us who grew up in that era, saw the world in pretty much stark terms. Soviet Union bad, United States good. And we're still kind of treating Russia the same way we treated the Soviet Union. And you're saying that's really the crux of the problem between our two nations.
I think that's right. And it was really the whole impetus for writing this book was I went back and I looked at my own views about the Soviet Union, that it was an evil empire, that it was the locus of evil in the world, that all they wanted to do was spread totalitarianism, and that we, by contrast, were completely good, entirely virtuous, only wanted to spread freedom and democracy around the world. And when I saw how kind of one-dimensional that view was, I started looking out for information that suggested otherwise, and I started to come at a much more complex view of the Soviet Union and our relationship. And then I started thinking, well, I don't want to fall into that same trap with Russia, because I do see it happening around us. I do see people, you know, turning Putin into 100% villain, mm-hmm. and turning Russia into a country that is only interested in increasing its power and spreading authoritarianism. And I kind of know from my own previous experience in the first Cold War that that's not what countries and relationships are like. They're always more complicated.
I think one of the things that first made me start re-evaluating Russia versus U.S. After the Cold War ended was reading about how Finland had managed to get along with their next-door neighbor, much larger next-door neighbor, at a time when the Soviet Union was alive and very well, and how they continued that relationship with them, and it's always been peaceful. Except for the 6 months where they were invaded by the Soviet Union and basically had to sign an armistice, Finland and Russia have gotten along ever since. So if they can get along, we need to realize that we don't have to be the enemy of Russia, right?
That's a great example. I hope you don't mind if I steal that from you.
You may.
Because I think it really says something. Little tiny Finland, right there on their border, always capable of being overrun by the Soviet Union and now by Russia, and at one point, very, you know, briefly attacked, you know, in the run-up to World War II, and incredibly holding their own for a long time in that war, which was kind of exceptional. But that is right. You know, it's really interesting. Finland not only got along, but Finland maintained the kind of society they wanted to have. Mm-hmm. They remained a liberal Western democracy. They had a high standard of living, and whatever anxieties they might have had about, you know, being destroyed or turned communist did not happen.
Our involvement in promoting NATO to encompass so much of the old Warsaw Pact countries behind the Iron Curtain, it apparently is considered to be a really morally offensive thing by the Russian people.
That's one of the first examples I give when people ask how we got into this Second Cold War. And just to, you know, to flesh it out a little bit, basically when the Soviet Union was collapsing, there were negotiations with the United States, and there's some difference of opinion about this, but probably most historians are coming down on the side of there was a kind of unwritten promise that we would not expand NATO eastward. And then the Soviet Union collapsed, and pretty soon after, we started expanding NATO eastward, both, as you say, to encompass former Warsaw Pact nations, and then to encompass former Soviet republics. So it's really very easy to understand how Russia would feel encircled and threatened. First of all, anybody would. Mm-hmm. Second of all, this is a country that had been attacked over and over again, destroyed over and over again. It's such a rough history in terms of being attacked.
Right. What can we do going forward then? How do we need to not see Putin as the latest version of Joe Stalin? Is that part of it? Or is it, it's got to be bigger than that too?
I think that would be a great place to start, is to recognize that Putin, you know, early on when he took over the presidency, had some openness to the West. He wasn't like he is now. And now we can't really look into his heart. We can't guarantee that he, you know, didn't have different feelings, but at least the way he behaved was that he wanted economic cooperation so that he could help Russia's economy. He was extremely, genuinely supportive after September 11, both in terms of things he said and in terms of things he did. So there was probably an opportunity there to forge a more positive relationship. And then between the NATO expansion that you and I have discussed and other things, he started to becoming very anti-Western, kind of probably reverting to how he himself had felt when he'd been in the KGB in the Soviet era. Mm-hmm. So I think if we were able to own our role in it, and I'm not saying we're responsible for all of it either, but if we can own our role, then we can have a more nuanced, balanced view of Putin and of Russia, and I think that can help us de-escalate the conflict.
I remember reading that after World War II, and I've had a chance to travel in Russia a little bit about 10 years ago and made some good friends there and discovered from them that at the end of World War II, Russia was very surprised that the United States did not extend the Marshall Plan to help them rebuild because they had been devastated by the Great Patriotic War, the invasion of the Soviet Union by Nazi Germany.
Yeah, and they had other gripes too. They also, throughout the war, were surprised and hurt that we didn't open a front in Europe earlier because
right.
we were so busy fighting Japan. But they thought that because they were doing the bulk of the fighting against the Nazis, they thought they should get some more help, not just equipment and lend-lease, but that our army should start fighting the Nazis on European territory. I mean, these are very tough strategic questions. I'm not sure there's a right or wrong, but again, it's not hard to understand how they would feel that way.
Sure, sure. Room, there has been a lot of misunderstanding between our countries for most of the last, I don't know, 70, 80 years. And some of it was deserved. I mean, there were bad things about the Soviet Union, and there were certainly good things about the United States. But if we're going to not be enemies, we need to work a little bit harder at being at least allies. I think that's the what I got from reading your book.
I think that's right. You know, I think it's important not to whitewash the bad things. We should be very open to thinking about and knowing about the bad things in the Soviet Union and Russia, although our focus should be on the bad things in our own country, because that's what we can do something about, and that's our responsibility. We have to fix our problems. We have to stop doing the things where we engage in morally questionable behavior, and they are responsible to do the same on their front, but it's not our job to make them do it.
Joe Weisberg, but thanks so much for the book and for the opportunity to visit and talk a little bit about this really serious situation.
It was a real pleasure, Dave. Thanks for having me on your show.
We've been talking to Joe Weisberg, Emmy Award-winning television writer and producer, best known for creating The Americans, the author of two previous books, the novels An Ordinary Spy and 10th Grade. His latest book is Russia Upside Down, an Exit Strategy for the Second Cold War. I'm Doc Kirby for WTBF.